We're going through the Gospel of John, not primarily to take up each chapter, but to provide us with a portrait, more or less, of Jesus Christ. Because this is where the essential truth of our faith lies, to be related to the person called Christ. Now it is as important for us to understand how to relate to Him, or in addition to the importance of knowing how to relate to Him, it is important for us to know that He relates to us. That we're not pursuing a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow, you see. We're not in a fantasy situation in which we are wish-thinking and in which Christ would become a legendary hero. Christ is real. And the reality of Christ, or Christ being real, there is the greater necessity of taking seriously what He has to say, and of relating seriously to Him. The worst thing in the world we can do is to ignore the primary claims of Jesus Christ upon our lives. This can be done in many different ways. That is, Christ can be ignored in many different ways. But the primary reason for ignoring Christ is the failure to appreciate what He is. Let us assume that you would have a friend that was a pastor and a counselor, and you would have another that was a medical doctor, and you would have another that was a lawyer, and these people would come to your house. They are friends of yours, and they would say, look, why don't we move in and live in your home together? Maybe these are three single men, and we will take care of all of your needs legally, spiritually, and medically, physically. That would be quite a deal, wouldn't it, if there were compatibility between the people? To have a medical man, a doctor, an MD, a lawyer, counselor, pastor, and so forth, right there to be more or less your private task force to keep you in health and strength and well-being. Now, let's assume that these men have moved in with you and remain or are next door or whatever, and they urge upon you to make use of their services. And let us say that in moving in with you, they have made a great sacrifice. But let us say that you begin to ignore them. You hardly even wish them the time of day. They come and go, and you never pay any attention to them. Now that would be a great humiliation, a great slap in the face. It would be as though the President of the United States were, to use a very crass analogy, but I think it has some merit here. Let's say the President of the United States would asks if you could would mind if he would come and stay with you for a week. And you say, well, sure, come on, and then you ignore him. What a great slap in the face that is. Christ has come from God to be whatever you and I need in our lives. In a way, our physician, on many, many occasions. Certainly our counselor, our guide, our life, our strength, all of these things Christ is. And if we ignore him, it is a great slap in the face to him. He has just offered himself to you. He has poured out his life for you on the cross, for me. Now when he asks to come and live with us, that he may give us the kind of power we need, many people just turn him aside and ignore him. It's a very strange thing, but a very real thing, a very true thing. 90% of the people on this earth, 90% of believers, for the most part, do not realize what they have in Jesus Christ. And because of this, they tend to ignore him. Now, by ignore him, I don't mean that they do not call upon his name, but by ignore him, I mean that they pay no attention to him in their daily lives. That's a very sad thing. Now, one of the things that would enhance your desire to follow Christ would be to read about him. And so we have these passages in the Gospel of John that give us an insight into who Christ is and what he is. And not only who and what he is, but what he is to us. That is the primary thing. Not putting Christ on a pedestal to describe him theologically, and say Christ is the third member of the Trinity, he is the incarnate Word, and so forth. These things may be true, but we can so couch Christ in theological language and phrases that we miss the reality of his presence in our hearts. Now here in the Gospel of John, we have pen prints, vignettes, whatever, that show us the life of Christ. Now, let us get to know him. Your Christianity will wear thin if it is based upon the principles and rules of Christendom. The only way your Christianity will remain vital and dynamic and alive is if you daily interact with Christ. There is no other way to go. Once more I say, as I think we said last night, to whom shall we go? Lord, thou hast the words of eternal life. There is no place to go. You are either going to confront Christ now in the Spirit and walk with him and have his help, or you're going to confront him later in judgment. There is no way to avoid the implications of Christ on the earth. Talking to a man yesterday, last evening, late afternoon, I said to him, you will never again anymore be able to ignore Jesus Christ any more than you can ignore the sea, the ocean that is out there. The ocean is a fact of existence. Thus, the wise people build their life on that fact of existence. That is, they include that in their attitude toward life. Now, can you imagine a real estate broker taking people around to show them oceanfront property at the beach area? And a person points to a stretch of beach. The tide is way out. They say, look, that's where I want to build my house, on that stretch of beach. The realtor comes back to them with the thought, very astutely, the tide is out. When the tide comes in, if you build your house there, you will be taking a saltwater bath 24 hours a day. The water will be in your living room if you build your house on that stretch of beach. But the person says, well, I'll tell you what, I don't like the sea anyway. I don't like the way that sea throws seaweed up on the beach and tar and stuff. And I don't like the way those waves crash and break on. And I certainly don't like the fact that the storms of sea wreck ships. So I am not going to believe in that sea. I'm going to build my house on that stretch of beach. Now you see, this is one of the things as far as Christ is concerned. People put up all kinds of arguments about the fact they can't believe in God because he is a God, because of judgment, because of hell, because of this, because of that. Well, you believe in God because he's there. Not because he is what you would like him to be. So the people living there along the shore can no more ignore the sea as a fact of existence than they can ignore life as a fact of existence. It's there. Christ is there. Perpetual, like the sea, but eternal, like the stars in the heavens. He's there. If you try to build a life without him, if you try to build a life that ignores the fact of his existence, you lose. I don't see how I can be any plainer than that. All down the road, you lose. Now, Christ gave us certain principles to follow. The law of love, for example, he says, love your neighbors yourself, and so on. He put forth these principles not to put us in a straitjacket or to make our lives more miserable. He gave us these rules because there is no better way to run your life than by these rules. He gave you the rules because he wants you to be happy. Now, when I say rules, I'm not talking about the nitpicky little things. I'm talking about, for example, the law of love. Look, if you love your neighbor as yourself, if you go through life exposing yourself to others and reaching out to them and putting them and so forth, you will have a happier life. The walls of self-centeredness will fall, and there will be exposed to your vista the horizons, the limitless horizons of God and his interaction with people. To live for yourself is to build a prison. Someday that prison will suffocate you. Christ is trying to tell you how not to be suffocated. If you want to suffocate yourself, go ahead. It's your body, your life. Christ tells you how not to be suffocated. By the prison walls of self-interest and self-centeredness. We have told you, I think, in this group that the very essence of divine love is caring, giving out to others. Not some feeling or emotion, but caring. Caring about others. And if you reach out to care for others, you will expand your own horizons And as I say, the prison walls will fall flat. Pay attention to Christ. Not just in a meeting somewhere, but in daily life. And you will find the rewards tremendous. You'll find your life on this earth straightening out, plus the promise and hope of the world to come. Now that is a very, very important thing. But I say this evening, make Christ the essential element of your life, and you will never look back on your life with regrets. Make Christ the center of your life, and you will never again be unsatisfied with the meaning of life. You may be here and there without pleasure. You may find this day and that day drudgery. That is possible. But you can be satisfied ultimately and absolutely in the midst of what you may regard to be a drudgery. Everybody who lives in this world, of course, has problems. Now, if you take Christ to yourself seriously, every day, continually, He will make life bearable for you, even though you have very difficult situations and problems. I talk to a lot of people who have a mate, a partner, that is, in one way or another, a trouble to them, a problem to them. Now, Christ gives you the grace to be able to live with that troublesome person, and maybe by the influence and impact of your own spirit, you may be able to draw them to Christ. Now, the great problem with people in terms of the things I'm saying is that instead of focusing on Christ as the center of life, they focus on the rituals and ideologies and doctrines of the church. So therefore, I'm saying to you, make Christ the central theme of your life. Talk to Him, get guidance from Him, give thanks to Him, but make Christ the central part of your life. Now, this is what we're trying to show in the Gospel of John. We're going to see in these pictures, these portraits of Christ, we're going to see there His relationship to people. He will be mirrored in them, and they will be mirrored in Him. Now, you observe, as we go through these characters, that wherever they came up against Christ, they saw themselves in their own meanness and wretchedness. And Peter says, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man." He confronted the multitudes at the wedding feast. He confronted the man by the pool of Siloam. In the Pharisee who came to Him by night to ask the way. We will see Christ mirrored in them, and they mirrored in Christ. For example, here is an encounter by some lepers. 10 lepers, they met Christ on the road, and they wanted to be healed. And the Lord said, "All right, go and show yourself to the priest and you'll be healed." 9 of them went their way and the 10th came back. The fact that the 10th came back mirrored his heart. His encounter with Christ showed to him his own heart, positively in this case. But the other 9 encountered Christ and he mirrored them. they did not return to thank him. I think it's a very familiar story to you about this painting in the Louvre in Paris. That a person was standing there, and I may not have all of the facts exactly right here. A person was standing there, admiring a certain painting, and a young person came along and said, I don't see what you get out of that painting. I looked at it. I don't get anything out of it. And this person said to the young person, well, as a matter of fact, these paintings are not here for you to judge, but they will judge you. Now, within certain limits, that's true. You stand before a great painting. If you are a painter and you know the techniques and you're familiar with the amount of work that goes into that canvas, you know these things, then you will be more apt to get something out of the painting. But the person who feels that that painting is just a lot of oils dabbled on a canvas, it shows where their mind is. That's the vital point here. Any great painting, great piece of music, great piece of literature, more judges another than it is judged by that person. Now, the implications of this privately, the thing that this means to you privately, in the personal application. When you meet Christ, he will mirror your imperfections. And you will not be the judge of Christ, he will be the judge of you. You do not judge whether you want to follow him or not. He judges you. So when you put yourself in the stream of Christ, remember that at that point, he takes your life and spreads it across the landscape of the years in whatever way he chooses. When you come to Christ, you're not taking to yourself, well, I could use an old expression of mine, some genie in a bottle. You rub the lamp and you say, look, Lord, do this and do this and do this. You're not taking some casual friend to yourself, which you give attention to today and put aside tomorrow. I want to warn you about this. You do not trifle with Christ. Not that he is going to come with a black snake and beat you. But the thought I want to convey is this. Once you ask Christ to take a place in your life, he's going to take that place. Now, you may run into some trouble down the line. And you may back away from Christ. And you may even think you're getting away with it. But you're not. Because inevitably, in his faithfulness, he will bring you back around to where he wants you. If you beat your head against the wall a dozen times, you are not the judge of Christ. He is the judge of you. Now, what is all of this? Why am I even talking about it? Because the whole essence of the Gospel of John is what happens when Christ and people meet. What happened when Christ and the great religious leader met? What happened in the encounter between Christ and the sinful woman? What happened in the encounter between Christ and the partygoers at the marriage of Cana in Galilee? What happened when Christ and the paralytic by the pool of Bethsaida encountered each other? That's what John is all about. What happens when Christ encounters you? He starts rummaging around in your life. And you may say, Lord, stay out of the attic. But he may just be faithful enough to push on into the attic anyway. Find out what's there. And you will find that Christ is not an off-again, on-again friend. If you may see him today and ignore him tomorrow, he does not do that with you. He has your life in his hands at all times, and he is conscious of what you are doing at all times, and wherein he feels you need to be disciplined, he's going to discipline you. We want to talk about the Christ of the personal encounter. We do not want to talk about the Christ of the theological excellence. You just keep in your mind, if you've ever asked Christ to come into your life, he's there. And he is stirring up your life. And ultimately, he will bring you to the place that he wants you to be. What is your job? Just stay where you are. Stay tight. Stay close. Watch him work in your life. Don't run away from him. Don't back off from him just because you have a problem. There is great comfort here. You join the family of God. And you can no more get away from the implications of that relationship than a child in the home can get away from the implications of their relationship. One may leave home, may wander about, but he never gets away from the implications of the name that he bears. And so you and I, when we encounter Christ, never get away from the meaning of that encounter. He will hold us to it. And he will work things out in your life and pull the rug when you need it and patch on the back when you need it and see you through this thing. But do not brand Christ with the same fickleness with which you brand yourself. If you are prone to be an up and down, merry-go-round kind of a life, don't consider that Christ is. If you choose to be unhappy with Christ today and ecstatic with him tomorrow, don't think he goes that route, because he doesn't. He moves on a constant basis. He is not up and down with the tides or with your reaction. No matter how you react to him, he's going to go on loving you anyway, however you react to him. But if you will react pliably, he will shape your life into a thing of beauty. If you act stubbornly, he will let you have the rope that you need to hang yourself. Then when you're dangling from the edge of the rope, he'll come around and see if you aren't ready to negotiate. I just want to get this idea across, very basically. Remember that once you turn your face to Christ, he lays hold of you. And your relationship to him is fixed and certain. Ultimately, because Christ will let you go through all the experiences necessary to bring you out to be what it is that he wants you to be. So don't think that your faith rests in the following of some little programs and regulations and so forth that are devised by man. In a church congregation, usually the person that is regarded as the most spiritual is the person who attends the most meetings. Or does the most personal work. Their regard is the most spiritual. But that's not the standard of Christ. So I'm not really talking about those kind of regulations and rules. I'm talking about what Christ has set forth clearly as his way, which is the way of love. Get with it tonight, if you haven't already. Stay with it. Stay with Christ. Let him show to you the miracle of his keeping power. And know this, that your whole life is engulfed in him. Even if you keep little centers for yourself, selfishly, he will open those up. So move in this vein, and your life will be successful. You're going to have problems, and they're going to hurt a little bit, but you'll be successful. Well, if only I could instill this concept to you with a hypodermic needle, but I can't. Very much upon my heart, very burdened for the idea, that we see the security of Christ who simply takes us and carries us along. But you are going to have discipline. You are going to have problems. In fact, the very word discipline means to teach. You're going to be taught of the Lord, and sometimes the only way you can be taught is by some of these circumstances. But you never walk out from under the shadow of Christ's love. Keep yourself in the love of God, and He will see to it that your life is kept for Him. Well, that's a brief introduction to the idea again, and more introduction to see the implications here of the coming of Christ in the flesh and the implications of Christ in our life. I think the basic implications of Christ in the life is not that we become religionists or churchgoers or pietists, but that we become real people accepting our position in Christ. If you're a believer in Christ tonight, He is yours, or you are in His hands. If you're a believer, and He is not going to let you go. He says, I hold them in my hand, and no man can pluck them out. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand, He says. Remember also, as I've told you, that the strength of divine love runs on an even keel through our life, even though at the surface emotional level we may be bouncing around like a ship in a storm. In the emotional level, we may bounce about like a ship in the storm. But in the deeper spiritual level, we are held steadfast in the love of Christ. So just stay in the family and go. Go with Him. But don't play games. Don't play games with Christ. Get with Him and stay with Him, because that is all you have. Okay, I think we'll pray then. Now, Father, we thank You for the word. Simple though it was, yet very needed. We pray, Lord, that You will hold steady everyone here in this room, that they may know that they are Thine and may walk with Thee. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.